Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So I was in the shower, I was cleaning my ass and making all the all sparkly, spanky clean.
I'm not the funny one, I'm the pretty one.
Cock shots. I just checked myself out.
Beatles, music, wine, and then lube up and get on top.
The glory hole is like a dick theater. I've imagined your family.
Which means your pants had better come off. Mama needs playtime.
We're not sluts.
We just love love.
Hello.
Hello, podcast listeners.
Hello, podcast land. Microphone
welcome.
People.
Yeah, welcome back to another week of By the By.
Yay. Yes. We're still on the air. They can't bring us down. Ooh, I don't know. Nobody's trying to bring us down, but
no.
If they tried, they can't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
yeah.
What's going on? I said, hey, yay. Sorry, I'm wow. In a weird mood today.
Clearly.
I'm a little bit punchy. It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to punch people.
Right.
But
I think it's because you had a nap.
I had just woke up from a nap.
A rainy day. It's been raining for days. It's going to be raining for days.
Yes. Basically, if you're in Sydney, build a fucking ark.
Yeah. So we've taken a couple of naps this weekend. It's been kind of nice.
I love naps. Naps mm-hmm. are greatly overrated. I think I am not only bisexual, I am biurnal.
Yeah. You just sleep twice a day?
If I'm using that word correctly, which... no guarantees. That means I need to sleep twice mm-hmm. a day. I'd be happy with a 6-hour night and a 2 to 3 hour nap.
Right. I would love to see you on the first few days or the week as you get into that, because you on 6 hours...
I'd kill a man.
I know. Until you really got in that rhythm, I'm not sure I want to be around.
Yeah, but once I find my rhythm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd be great. I actually do feel pretty good right now.
Yeah.
Podcast land, you're very lucky. There's some listeners that we love that we're going to get to see very soon. They're from Perth, mm-hmm. and they've been on the podcast, and we're going to see them in Desire. And I'm talking directly to them. That's why I'm being so specific. I'm kind of hungry right now, and I really want to eat pretzels, but I know how the crunching would come over the microphone, and I know that is their a bit of a pet peeve that they have, is when podcasters eat on Mike.
Uh-huh.
So I'm trying to...
So you're going to be good.
Trying to be good.
And
so
keep
for the next
down.
Hour, I'm not going to be eating pretzels, which...
We can also just take a break. You can eat your break. Pretzel. Yeah.
I felt like Gene from Bob's Burgers right there. Nom, 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 nom. This is me now. We had some exciting news this week. Mm-hmm. On Monday, we were listed in the top 20 LGBT podcasts you must subscribe and listen to in 2018 by blog.feedspot. It's the Feedspot blog reader. Mm-hmm. So that was exciting to be listed under such awesome podcasts such as The History is Gay, which if you don't listen to that, it's an amazing podcast talking about some of the gay people in history.
Mm-hmm.
Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, which we've guested on. That
They're
was
fun.
So
yeah.
much fun. And God, those guys are cute.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's just some really great podcasts out there. So you can find Feedspot blog reader on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And we're listed in their top 20.
So, cool.
Yay. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Additionally, we were featured on it's IndexQX. I can't really even say index. I'm sure it's index, but it's IndeqX on podcast telling LGBTIQA stories,
mm-hmm.
Produced and recorded in Australia, talking about us, queer as fact, love and luck podcast, queer stories. They call me by my name project, a trans oral history project podcast. Blah, blah, blah. Easy for me to say. Anyway, I'm really excited. And it was great for us to be listed on those. It was very nice.
Yeah.
I'm always excited to be
when people tapped listen. On the head and
said, we actually listen to you. Thank you.
Yeah.
So that's always nice.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, we've had some great emails from listeners recently that were really awesome. And it's funny. It always seems like we get those emails right when I need them. So thank you. Thank you. And keep them coming.
Definitely. Definitely. So what's been going on? Do we want to talk about our date?
Yeah, if you want. Last night? Yeah. Oh my God. Last night's date was amazing.
Yeah.
Look, we don't brag about dates often. I'm going to brag about this date. This is a couple that... I think we've mentioned them before, but they were definitely a couple that the first time we saw them, it was
they
like,
caught our eyes.
I was like, wow. And like, well, I'm not even going to talk to you because you're way out of my league. So why should I even give it a go? So the next time we saw them, actually, I guess then we saw them at they came to Pendulum. They came to a Pendulum party. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, there they are. And that was the night that we were working. Mm-hmm. So I was literally stuck behind the bar. Yeah. And it was just one of those, it's like, I really find them attractive.
And I know afterwards you were telling me that you really hoped that the ship hadn't sailed.
Yes.
So like that was your one chance and it's gone.
And it's gone. It's like, so I was too shy to talk to them the first time. And then I was too busy to talk to them the second time.
And then the third time we had gone to our secret spot. That was after a meet and greet. And we honestly just stopped in to say hi to the staff.
Yeah.
And no intentions of staying, much less playing, and they were there along with another couple that we really liked and hadn't really had a chance to play with yet. And so us being as stubborn as we are, we very quickly caved, stayed at OSS, and played with them.
No, I think we did say, like, oh, we only came to be social, we're not going to play.
Yeah.
And then they were like, do you want to play? And we were like... Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. That was the night, if you're a regular podcast listener, of the impromptu orgy. Uh-huh. That was that night. So we've been texting back and forth with them, and they were in town this week, and we're like, hey, you want to get together? And we were like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, we met them for a drink, first of all, a drink dinner, and that was it's so much fun because it was just good conversation. And if I weren't so interested in playing with them, we could have sat there all night long.
I know, and just talked and talked. But, you know, they did that wonderful thing, which was, like, it was still early in the night.
Yes.
And it's funny because I'm bad because I, like you, I get excited. I'm like, it's nice to hang out with people that we get along with and we can talk to. And, like, socially, these people are great. And part of me was like, hey, do you want to find another bar and go have a nightcap and then do something? But I don't remember if it was he or she that said, you know, we've got alcohol back at our place if you want to come back to our place. Both of us basically were in unison. We're shaking our heads and going, yes, I will follow you anywhere.
Yeah.
And we did. So we went back to their place and, you know, it was, again, great.
It was nice because we all started with a drink and we sat down and were chatting and talking still. So she and I were sitting on the sofa, you were sitting on the floor, and he was sitting on a chair next to you. And so you two were across from us, across the coffee table. And again, just great conversation for a little while. I would have said maybe 30 minutes or so. And then at some point, because we had joked earlier when he sat down, because he was sitting down, I think he moved to the floor.
He moved to the floor.
And he commented on his pants being too tight to, like, you know, sit Indian style cross-legged on the floor. And so I jokingly said, we'll take them off. He didn't.
Yeah.
So then after about 30 minutes, she said something about, now we're all wearing too many clothes, or don't we need to take some clothes off?
Yeah, and he was like, we kind of laughed about it, and she's like, okay, we have 1 minute. And then 12 minutes later, she goes, I think our timer is done. I was like, I like her. What's funny is she is so much like you. You guys have so much in common in that you aren't afraid to ask for what you want. You're both extremely sexual creatures in a very sex-positive way. It's awesome to be like...
Yeah.
And you know me, I'm attracted to women who I think could hurt me. And I think she could hurt me.
I do too.
Awesome. Anyway, so
so she said that, and I had on a sweater dress. So I stood up, whipped it off, and was like, all right,
people are always so impressed with how quickly you get naked.
Yeah. Yeah, and it took the rest of you a little bit longer to catch up. She was second, I think.
Yeah.
And then,
well, I went to the bathroom to go to the bathroom, and when I came out, you know, I was trying to take the insulin pump off, and I had seen you disrobe, but she's already braless as well. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, okay. and he was in his underwear, and all three of you looked at me and was like, and I think she said, you still have too much clothes on. I'm like, I am working on it. so that was funny. That was great. And then we ended up going back to their bedroom, and it was exactly what you want from a play session, really, because it was a lot of, like, that was that puppy pile. Gender didn't matter, and, you know, we were all playing, and everybody's got a very similar play style, and, you know.
Every now and again, there's a snarky comment or a giggle or something.
And he kept saying, you guys, one of the things I like about you is how seriously you take this. Because, you know, we're being sarcastic and joking and laughing the whole time.
Yeah.
To which I think my response was, one of the things I like about you is how you're so quiet during the play. to which he looked appropriately appalled. but yeah, that was it was so much fun.
It was.
It was exactly what I was looking for. Just as a side note, it's interesting because recently my blood sugars have been going up and down, and I had a blood sugar crash. Like, the moment we get to penetration, I have a blood sugar crash and I lose my erection. I was like, God bless it. So we ended up, you know, we were kind of kissing a bit, and then finally I stopped. I was like, I need to go check my blood. And so I looked at her and I was like, I think I need to go check my blood. She goes, oh, okay. And so she hops off, and I went and checked my blood. I was low. I drank some orange juice, and I walked back into the bedroom drinking orange juice. And you and her are 69ing, and he's fucking you doggy style.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, it takes me 45 seconds to check myself and to get orange juice. That escalated quickly.
Well, I think when you left, he was fucking me doggy style. Mm. So then when you left, she came over and we kissed for a moment, and then she started to go underneath me, and so then I went down on her, and so we ended up 69ing while he was fucking my doggy.
I think that is one of my favorite ways to see you, because I don't see that very often. We don't get in a situation where that happens very often. Mm-mm. And I will say, that's one of my favorite ways to see you, because at the same time, you are in complete control and power, and you're also kind of vulnerable, and it's really nice, and seeing your pretty little eyes roll into the back of your head, and you getting those little lines between little your furrows. Eyebrows, those little, the up and down equal sign. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's also, in that position, it's kind of difficult to concentrate. Because it's like, I'm concentrating what's going on behind me and in front of me. And it's like,
because you got somebody going down, and you got somebody fucking you, and then you're going on down on somebody. Yeah. And it is, there's a lot of balls in the air, so to speak.
Yeah.
But, you know,
it's awesome, though.
It was great, too, because afterwards we all just sort of laid there naked and just chatted probably for another 30 to 45 minutes.
Easy, yeah.
It was great. So, so much fun.
It was a fun night.
Yeah. And it's so funny because I am the worst at overthinking. Mm-hmm. I think some people probably already know this. New listeners are probably just finding this out.
Shocker. Sarcastic.
but, you know, of course, I think, as you know, after we get home, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm sending the thank you text. It was so much fun. You know, and I'm always like, oh my God, you know, do they still like us? Was that good enough? Did you just like, and I know them as human beings and they don't think this, but I can't help but always think, oh my God, did we make the cut? You know, are we on the varsity team yet?
Maybe we're still on JV and we have to work our way up.
Yeah,
we got to try a little harder.
I still feel like most of the time for me, I feel like I'm always auditioning for a show. Mm-hmm. It's like every time I'm like, oh my God, did I make the cut? Am I just an understudy? Because I don't want to be an understudy. I promise I'll work really hard. And I know my dance is shit, but I will try. That's basically how I feel.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you overthink it.
And on that same sort of note, at dinner, when at one point I said, oh yeah, I'm in the musical theater, and he did the best, like, oh, no, you shucker. Okay, you're being sarcastic, and you're right. I like the musical theater.
Yeah.
So, That was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
It was a good night.
Yeah, it was a good night. Oh, God, they're such an attractive couple.
Yeah.
So, well, out of our league. But that's okay.
That's okay. Well, I'm happy with JV team.
I'm not. I want to be in varsity, goddammit. Well, I've had a taste of varsity.
At least we're not cut, though.
True.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was fun. That mm-hmm. was a good night. Mm-hmm. And then today we did our little talkie thing at the Love and Lust Festival.
Yeah, it's part of the Festival of Really Good Sex or something like that. Yeah,
it was. That was a lot of fun. We went and we got to talk about bisexuality, which is what we're going to talk about today. Mm. But I think this may be a little more upbeat as to what... I always feel bad because our bisexuality talks tend to be a bit dour.
That's okay. But next time we made a plan, we're going to do something a little bit different with it. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Watch this space. Because I think we're going to be asked. He seemed excited. Hopefully we were videoed. And so hopefully he'll like it and say like, yes, we want you back.
Yeah.
Want you back. I'm feeling very musical right now. We should do a musical episode where we sing the whole time.
Right, let's do that.
You look, that was a beautiful, I've never seen you look afraid in any of the sex acts that we've ever done. I've seen you jump off of a bungee cliff thing. I've seen you, and that was a look of terror. Oh, you're so cute. I love you. Angela doesn't sing, people.
No, I don't.
So, you know, even crossover episode time, you know, even on the Bedhoppers. Mm-hmm. Mrs. H, she did the chicken impression, but I don't think there is anything.
Oh, I can do a chicken impression.
No, that's not the point.
Bok, bok. I'm doing an impression of Mrs. H doing her chicken impression.
Is this the impression of her doing her chicken impression? Bok.
Maybe. Just one bok.
Oh my God. I love it. I love her. Okay. You'll hear more from them on our podcast here in the not too distant future.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
So... I'm sort of all over the place here. So yeah, we did that today. That was fun.
Yeah.
Musical episode.
Mm-hmm. Should we get into the
main topic? The meat and taters. Yeah, sure.
All right. So we're going to keep going down the path talking about bisexual statistics and just effects on life in general of bisexuality. What we started a couple of weeks ago. And so we've got lots more papers to go through, lots more information. Like I said, hopefully some of this will be at least a little more interesting, maybe not so dry. Still a lot of numbers. It's kind of the easiest way to get the message across, I think. Should we just jump in?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I do want to real quick credit the nice person who sent us this. Mm-hmm. She sent us an email. So I'm going to read a bit of her email. So she was kind enough to send us all these, and we asked her, you know, can we share all these and can we, you know, send these to folks? And of course she was wonderful. She was like, yes, please share these articles. It's great. But I want to quote her because this is, I think, absolutely honest, absolutely awesome. She says, that being said, and with that being, there's, you know, just acknowledging that, you know, these are a lot of articles and a lot of stuff and maybe everything doesn't apply. But she said, that being said, please see these articles as validation. These articles are scientific proof that bi erasure, bi invisibility, bi phobia, and other bi biases have a real and quantifiable impact on us. So the next time someone says to stop whining or bi doesn't count as a marginalized community, or talk about how the gays have it the worst, you can respond with these 12 articles. Mic dropped.
I love it.
I love it. And it's so true. Yeah. I mean, it's such a great, you know, I think it's wonderful to have this. And it sucks that you have to have this in your belt.
Yeah.
But to have this in your utility belt is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I really love it. And so near the end of her email, she addresses me specifically. Bradford, when you see the heartbreaking statistic of the suicidal thoughts and the attempt rates being higher in bi than other sexual minority category, please don't see it as fate. I hope that it is emotionally validating to you, although tragic and something for society to work on, that you are among many fellow bi folks who also experienced this. And absolutely. It's, you know, I know exactly, she's absolutely right. I don't see it as fate. Just want to make that very clear. I think at one point I did. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, if you'd talked to Bradford 6 to 10 years ago, I absolutely thought it was fate, that this was, you know, this was a path that I was doomed, damned, or cursed mm-hmm. to walk down. But now, you know, having this community around me and of friends, both straight, gay, and bi, or yes, straight, gay, and bi, that you know, they support me, and that, you know, together it's, you know, we're a much stronger girl.
Yeah.
Stronger.
And again, it's just knowing that you're not alone, that there are other people out there. And again, there is this community, and it's, you may have to work a little bit to find it and to be a part of it, but it's there.
Yeah, it does exist. Mm-hmm. Also, I like the word bi biases.
I do too.
Because I want to sing bi 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 biases.
Oh, wow.
When you see me here, know that I'm fully queer. Bye, 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 biases.
I want you to keep going with this. I want to see where it goes.
Okay. I don't know how to tell you this, but the song's a duet.
That's okay. You can play both parts.
Ooh, it's a bi duet.
There you go.
Okay, back to the topic.
Right.
Back to the topic at hand. Already, this podcast is much brighter than the last
one. Game face. Serious.
Serious face.
We can do this.
And go.
Okay, so this next paper that I looked at, I found it to be really incredibly fascinating. So basically, they looked at 30 different traits and behaviors and looked at how they were associated with the frequency of orgasm when sexually intimate over a one-month period. And in this, they studied, it was 52,000 and something adults in the U.S. Again, most of the data is from the U.S. But it was a mixture of people who identified as heterosexual men.
26,000 people.
Gay men.
452 people.
Bisexual men.
550 people.
Lesbian women.
340 people.
Bisexual women.
1,112 people.
And heterosexual women.
24,102 people.
Mm-hmm. And so what they found was, when polling these people, was that 95% of heterosexual men said they, and the paper goes through the definitions of this part, but they said that they usually always orgasmed when sexually intimate. Gay men were 89% and bisexual men 88%. So pretty high. And not a huge difference, a little bit between gay and bisexual men from heterosexual men, but not super significant. Significant, but not that big. When it comes to women, 86% of lesbian women said that they usually always orgasmed when sexually intimate. Bisexual women were 66% and heterosexual women were 65%. So interestingly, lesbian women were much more likely to orgasm than heterosexual and bisexual women.
Which is fascinating.
Isn't it fascinating?
Yeah.
And then it kind of goes into, you know, why some of this may be. But women who orgasmed more frequently were more likely to receive more oral sex, have longer duration of sex, be more satisfied with their relationship, ask for what they want in bed, praise their partner for something that they did in bed, call, email, tease, you kind of have that buildup of something sexual beforehand, wear sexy lingerie, try new sexual positions, anal stimulation, act out fantasies, incorporate sexy talk, and then express love during sex. So it's all those things that kind of build that intimacy that made them more likely to have orgasms. And I think it just does go to show that if you have that closeness, it can really have a big impact. Women were also more likely to orgasm if their last sexual encounter included deep kissing, manual genital stimulation, and or oral sex, in addition to vaginal intercourse. So not just straight to vaginal.
Right.
And again, you've got that buildup and that bit of that tease and the foreplay involved in it. So this, you know, if you go through this list of things, it kind of gives you some ideas and suggestions and what you can do to kind of maybe increase your chances of having an orgasm more frequently, or just really enjoy the experience a lot more.
I think that's really interesting because, you know, and I realize that this is about the bisexual community, and I see a lot of kind of sad things about these numbers, mm-hmm. and I see a lot of like really awesome things about the swinger community from this. So just pointing out for me, one thing, you said the number of people who have an orgasm being polled. Every time I'm polled, I would say I'd orgasm 99% of the time, if not 100% of the time.
Oh, you had to go there.
I do like being polled. yeah. So, but, you know, jokes aside, when you look at the lesbian women, bisexual women, and heterosexual women, mm-hmm. you know, 86 to 66 to 65, that's a pretty significant
jump. It's a big jump.
That's 20 percentage points.
Yeah.
That is statistically valid.
Yeah.
And the one thing that they have in common is men. And that's kind of a bummer that when you have, you know, two women together 86% of the time, they're going to have an orgasm. Mm-hmm. Or 80%, I should say, 86% of women together will have an orgasm.
Yes.
Is that why you guys go to the bathroom in pairs? Holy shit!
Has your world just opened up a little bit now?
Yeah, I feel like I just got polled. Later on, I'll assume the pole position.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We'll see if we can get to an orgasm.
I'll try to be good. You know, but that's kind of a bummer. And it just says, like, guys, you're doing something wrong. And I know it's funny because I look at me, you know, 20 years ago me, when I was first starting to have sex. And it's very easy, and we've talked about this before, to get into that rut and get lazy.
Yep.
And so when we all start out with our partners, it's all about slow and steady and exploration and kissing and maybe a little bit of oral play and let's experiment and it's exciting.
And you talk about your fantasies and
what I
maybe
loved.
Act those out some.
And you talk about what they did that you loved. Mm-hmm. I loved it when you did this and I'm blah, 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 blah. And then 10 years later, you're just like, all right, let's fuck. And, you know, whether that's children and time issues and work, or whether it's just laziness, or whether it's complacency, or whether it's just easy. I think it's important you look at this list of things that women who orgasm more frequently experience. And I think all of us, no matter your gender, would have a better time if we sort of tried to follow this recipe for fucking.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word.
And it does take work. It takes time. I'm not going to say it's work like in a bad way, but it does take effort.
Effort.
Yeah, it takes effort and it takes time. But at the same time, the benefits are huge. You know?
I mean, I don't know. I look at this list and it does make me sad to think that there are couples out there that, you know, and having been one of these couples, that deep kissing isn't part of your lovemaking ritual. And I can say that I've had relationships in which kissing was not. And I honestly thought it was something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And I think you and I have talked about this in that when we first started dating, we kissed all the time. Mm-hmm. And we would make out on the couch for a long time. And it was like, wow, this is great. I thought that something was bad with the whole kissing thing, that I was either a bad kisser or that there was maybe a taste or smell that wasn't pleasant. And I was so reticent in the beginning to do that with you because I thought that was my problem.
And I know you had an issue as well when we first started dating with kissing first thing in the morning. Because I'd roll over and start kissing you and you were kind of like, no.
Yeah, because again, previous partners didn't like it. It was like, you know, that stupid Colgate or the mouthwash company. I don't remember who it was in the States. That they literally invented dragon breath. Mm. That first thing in the morning. And you can actually look this up on the interwebs, people. It was invented as a marketing ploy because they wanted to sell the mouthwash. The idea was you would get up, use the mouthwash, then come back to bed, and then later on brush your teeth.
Right.
So, yeah, it was... I hate they invented that. It's like, fuck you, people. You've destroyed so many relationships. It's just interesting to look at this and see these things that we fortunately do on a regular basis. Mm. I still think that we could probably be better at some of these.
Oh, we could definitely be better.
But, you know, these are, it's just sad to me that men are the problem.
Yeah.
So going forward on that, it's really funny. One of the things that came from the study as well is that men, God damn it, guys, we systematically overestimated the orgasm frequency of our female partners.
My question on this, is it because you can't tell if they've orgasmed or not, that the women are faking it? Don't fucking fake it, women. Or is it just wishful thinking on their part that they were able to have their woman orgasm?
It's very funny. It is funny. It's sad, but yeah. It's funny. It's like, you know, because I can see these guys, and I'm generalizing, but it's those guys that are like, yeah, my woman always comes when I fuck her. And I'm like, oh, God, you know, I can already tell you right now, she probably doesn't. it's ugh. Jeez. And don't fake your orgasms.
No, don't. That doesn't do anybody any good.
No.
Maybe in a rare situation, but overall,
everybody loses. Yeah. I've faked orgasms before. Everybody loses. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah. And if you don't orgasm, that's okay. Yes. Like, that's not a bad thing.
It is not the end all. Be all. Like,
if you have fun during the play, that's what matters. Yeah. Whether you actually orgasm or not, well, I think it's an amazing thing. You don't have to. It's fine. Like, the play is what's fun. And that intimacy and building that intimacy is...
If you're only having sex...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
To have an orgasm, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, or you're Catholic and you're just trying to procreate.
Right.
No, root. Sorry.
So moving on with that. So 50% of the women who had only vaginal intercourse during their last sexual encounter reported an orgasm. So again, this goes back to not having any manual stimulation, any oral stimulation, the kissing, etc. It's just straight to vaginal intercourse. Only 50% of the women reported having an orgasm. And women who had vaginal intercourse and manual stimulation, 73% of those women said that they orgasmed. So that's a pretty big jump from 50 to 73 right
huge,
there.
Yeah.
Just from a little bit of extra manual stimulation.
It's almost a quarter more.
Yeah. And then beyond that, 86% of women who had vaginal intercourse, manual stimulation, and oral sex orgasmed. So we have a jump of 50 to 73% to 86%. So again, it just goes back to the, you know, taking a little bit more time, having a little more fun with it, building that intimacy, having that extra stimulation, maybe having a variety of stimulation really helps. Because I know, you know, it's fun to mix it up and have different feelings and stimulations and
it's funny too,
stuff
because
going on.
I don't know. For me, it's always one of those things. I so enjoy oral sex and manual stimulation, like giving it and receiving it, but giving it. That I just can't imagine just going straight to, you know, just straight to sex. And I know we do it.
Yeah.
And it probably happens 1 in 20 to 30 times. Mm. But it's almost always, it's a quickie. It's built for purpose.
Yeah.
Like we're just trying to get close and have sex. Mm. But, you know, it's those times that it's like, oh, this is, you know, it's fun. It's meant to be fun. And one of the things I started talking about a few minutes ago and then neglected was talking about the swinger community.
Oh, yeah.
When you look at that paragraph talking about all the things that people do, that is stuff that is a normal night and any night at a swingers club.
Yeah.
It's stuff that you see. And it makes me wonder, is it because these are new relationships, and it's back to what I said before, where when you're in a young relationship, you're doing all this stuff and it's exciting because it's different and because it's new? Or is it just that's what swingers do, that we are on a... Oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to use this phrase. We are, on the whole, better prepared, you know, to give pleasure to our partners.
I would say that you're more... As a community, I would say that we're more cognizant of that, because if you're looking for new partners, you want to provide them with pleasure. That's kind of the point.
Someone who orgasms is going to come back.
Yeah. That kind of thing. Well, and you want whoever you're playing with to have a good time. If they don't enjoy it, whether they orgasm or not, if they don't enjoy it, they're not going to come back and play with you. You're not going to have that relationship, the intimacy going forward. And yeah, when you look at the list, you know, praising your partner for something that they've done, calling, emailing, texting, you know, having that communication and the tease and the foreplay leading up to it, sexy lingerie, all of that is things that we do continually. They're all things that we do continually in the swinger community. And I know a lot of people outside the swinger community do as well.
Right.
Which is great. But clearly, it is something.
Looking at the numbers, it's not consistent.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people do it.
No.
I just think I would love to know these numbers in the swinger community.
Right.
Which I don't think there's a lot of studies done on the swinger community.
No.
All right, if you're a scientist out there, fix this.
Well, it's interesting because many of these behaviors are neglected in other papers and other studies. They don't look at different behaviors that include acts of sexual variety, like trying different positions, talking about your fantasies, anal stimulation, things, mood setting, like using candles or music and things like that to create romantic moods. And a lot of that gets neglected. They're just looking at kind of physical things as opposed to getting the rest of your senses involved as well.
Yeah, and it's funny. It's extremely important, talk about mood setting. That's something I would love to know. Like, are men and women, well, let's do it this way. Are women more likely to have an orgasm if there are candles and music playing? On top of that, what is the time to orgasm? From T0 to whatever number of minutes for both men and women. Are you more likely to orgasm quicker or slower with proper mood setting?
Right. So if we go forward and look at specific behaviors that were reviewed in this paper, so overall, people who received oral sex more frequently had orgasms more frequently. And that was basically true for all groups except for heterosexual men, in which it was a slight bit lower. But for most other groups, if you received more oral sex or oral sex more frequently, then you would orgasm more frequently.
No wonder people just look at you and you have orgasms. Yeah, you're having an orgasm now. No, I'm kidding.
No, I'm not. That's not true. And then heterosexual and bisexual women who had longer sex sessions were more likely to orgasm. But that wasn't the case with lesbian women.
Do you think that's because lesbian women know women better, and we're going back to the men not knowing what they're doing down there?
Potentially, but it also included bisexual women, and that, you know, is that a bisexual woman with a man or with a woman?
True, fair enough.
I don't know.
And I do question some of these things, like, you know, are women more likely to tell women when something is going well? Or
when something's not going well.
Or when something's not going well. And are women more likely to ask than a man if this feels good, if you like this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would tend to think that there would be more of that communication between women than between a woman and a man.
Well, but your partners, when you've done Club V and whatnot, do you... Is there communication? How's communication?
Yeah.
Is it more than what it would be on a normal swingers night?
I would say, and it could just be the people that are involved as well. But I would say that it may be a little bit more involved. But I also, it's harder for me because I will ask a new partner, does this feel good? Do you like this? Or tell me if, you know, kind of thing. Especially if it's somebody that I want to have a prolonged relationship with.
You hear that, folks? If Angela's asking you if you like it, she likes you.
But a lot of
Mama wants you to like it.
But there is communication about I would say that, women on those nights, there is a little bit more communication about what they want or what feels good. I also noticed that women are more likely in those situations to say you like more clitoral stimulation and someone's going down on you and you might be close, but you want to kind of get over that hump, that women are more likely then to reach down and manually stimulate themselves to orgasm. Whereas if you're with a guy, some will, but some just kind of let it go and see what happens.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I think that's very a gross overgeneralization. I don't think that that's necessarily fair to say kind of overall.
Because I know in the few times that I've had female dates mm-hmm. outside of the swingers club, and the few in the comparatively to the swingers club, mm-hmm. it feels like women are more likely in the club to say, "Don't stop." Mm-hmm. So if it's especially in oral yeah. and manual, so that you know that what you're doing right there works. Mm-hmm. Whereas just the ladies that I've hooked up with separately, you know, I'm more required to read them mm-hmm. and try to get what they're, you know, yeah. is this doing it? Is this right? Kind of thing.
Yeah, so ask for what you want.
Yes, totally.
Yeah. Don't be and if shy. Something's working, say it. Let them know. Yeah. Yeah. Because you want more of that, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And even I've gotten better about that. You know, like, I know, again, this most recent play, you know, mm-hmm. it was like, wow, that's, there was a couple times I was like, oh my God, that's good. Like, because it was good. So, yeah, it's,
yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
And I don't think this one is terribly surprising at the beginning, but relationship satisfaction was one of the strongest predictors for women's orgasm frequency. So women that were happier with their relationship, more content with it, they were more likely to have orgasms. And that was true for heterosexual women, lesbian women, bisexual women, and heterosexual men. However, it was not true for gay and bisexual men. There wasn't that same correlation. So I thought that was kind of fascinating.
Wait, so then are we to understand that gay and bisexual men...
Relationship satisfaction was not a strong predictor for orgasm frequency.
So that just means if you're gay or bisexual, you can have a bad relationship and still have lots of sex.
Yeah, and lots of orgasms, yeah.
Yeah. Did the paper say whether masturbation is included in any of these, or is it all partnered sex?
I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah.
I would have to look again.
Yeah. My guess would be yes, because it was a specific paper mm-hmm. on relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. And then women who received oral sex during their last sexual encounter were systematically more likely to report more frequent orgasms than women who did not, regardless of what other behaviors were engaged in. So again, oral sex, really important.
Yeah.
And most heterosexual women who combined oral sex, manual genital stimulation, and deep kissing reported usually orgasming 80%, as did women who added vaginal intercourse to that combination, 77%. So, again, it's just, you know, oral sex, manual stimulation, mix it up, have a variety, create that intimacy and prolong the play a bit. Yeah, it's not just a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, let's get in and do this. I mean, sometimes, but not routinely.
Yes. And it's interesting, too, to that last number. So you're saying adding vaginal intercourse dropped the likelihood of orgasm.
No.
So, I mean, we've seen it before that most women have trouble orgasming with vaginal intercourse, that it's, mm-hmm. you know, but... Mm-hmm. Guys, it's important to know where the clitoris is and know where the G-spot is. It's very important.
And what works for your partner.
Yes.
And ask them if you don't know.
Ask them. Yeah. And if you don't feel comfortable asking them, ask them to show you.
Yeah. Or pay attention to their signs as well. You know, there's a lot of ways that you can tell.
Yeah.
And lesbian women were more likely than heterosexual women to orgasm when they engaged in comparable behaviors. So basically, lesbian women were three times more likely to always have an orgasm than heterosexual women in those comparable behavior situations.
Wowzer.
So, but it goes back to, is it because women know their bodies better? They're more communicative? Is it that, there's a whole variety of reasons that could be. Yeah. Maybe men don't pay attention. Women don't ask. I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really awesome, but it's crazy.
Yeah. But so overall, men were more likely to orgasm than women. lesbian women were more likely to orgasm than heterosexual women, and then men were more likely to orgasm than lesbian women. So you can kind of see the hierarchy coming out there.
Yeah, this fucking patriarchy. I think the patriarchy just throws its jizz all over all of us.
And overall, again, the women who received more oral sex and had sex for longer durations and were more satisfied with their relationships orgasmed more frequently. And then men who orgasmed more frequently, they would usually incorporate like a little mini massage or back rub or shower bath. There was more touch, more intimacy, date night, something like that, and they were more likely than to orgasm.
So they had something planned.
Yeah.
A date.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Wow.
What a great paper.
It's just really fascinating just to look at all the different behaviors in different groups and how they're all affected and impacted. And yeah. But again, it just creates that intimacy. It's important.
Yeah, clearly.
I mean, it's important not just for relationship satisfaction, but for physical satisfaction too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So what's next?
So if we're going to move on, I think we kind of move into bi invisibility now. Are you ready for bi invisibility?
Yes.
Okay. So, the next paper that we looked at was looking at bi invisibility in families. And this was specifically looking at male partnered bisexual women deciding whether to disclose their sexual orientation to family when they were starting a family of their own, so when they're having children. So do they tell their family about their sexuality, their parents, their siblings, you know, their community? Do they tell them about their sexuality when they're having children? Or do they just, because they do have a male partner, do they just kind of keep it to themselves? And so then does that perpetuate the heteronormativity or queering of family? Does that make sense?
Yes. So the basic decision is, we're having a baby.
Yeah.
Do you say to your family, hey, I'm bisexual,
right,
thus queering the family, mm-hmm, or do you just keep it to yourself, thus making it a heteronormative.
Yeah.
Patriarchal. Yeah. Angry Bradford.
Right. And so this was a small set. So it was only 22 bisexual male-partnered women that were interviewed shortly after having children. About whether they disclose their sexual identity to their family. So again, it was a small group. Okay, but also,
I'm going to go ahead and say that this group is too small to make an actual judgment.
It's also probably hard to find people in that situation as well.
Fair enough. I'm just saying that this is not significant.
Yeah. No, it's a very, very small group.
Telling myself this so I don't get angry when I find out the...
Right. But what they found was that most women rarely discuss their sexual identity with their family. And then those who did described it as uncomfortable, as you would kind of expect.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the reason is because some of the women in that group said that parenthood seemed to invalidate the need to talk about their sexual history and their sexual identity with their family, because it was no longer important. It's now about the children. It's not so much about me.
Okay.
So, you know, and it...
We don't have kids, so we really can't say. But at the same time, just because you have a child does not, A, negate who you are,
right,
or B, invalidate who you are.
Right.
I still get frustrated, and I've seen this from friends and family. When they have a child, they no longer become themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They have nothing but the child.
Right. The child is their world, and that they do nothing but that. They have no other interests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And while I think it's good to be very active in your children's life.
Yeah, for sure.
It shouldn't completely erase who you are.
Right.
I think that is so unhealthy to have, to have a person erased just because they had a child, mm-hmm, or multiple children.
Yeah.
You know, that's sad.
Well, yeah, as part of this study, some of the reasons for that, the decreased disclosure of their sexuality to their family, was because that their sexual orientation was less central to their identity. Like we said, the children were then taking over more of their identity than their sexual orientation was. And then the partner's gender just determined others' assumptions about their own sexual identity. And again, why rock the boat? If people just want to assume this and, you know, it's not, it's almost more work than to correct them, even though ultimately you're not helping acceptance at all, and you're not helping your own self-acceptance, because sure. some part of you, whether you want, you know, really acknowledge it on, it may not be at the surface, but down there somewhere, you're kind of feeling like I still have to kind of hide part of who I am, and I can't be 100% true to myself. And yeah, I think just being honest about your bisexual identity, it's a lot more complex than the lesbian and gay identity, because it can't be assumed based right, on your yeah. current partner's gender. It does have to kind of be stated in some way.
And that people, again, going back to the judging a book on its judging a book by its cover.
Yeah.
People are just.
Yeah.
We see opposite gender or same gender, and we assume.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it does show how families, within families, that sexuality can be expressed, or how it can be repressed, and how some sexual identities are more privileged and visible than others, and how your partnership and your parenthood status impacts the importance, especially for bisexual women, of their sexual identity and for themselves and their family. And it's interesting because we do have bisexual friends who have children. Mm-hmm. Some have same gender partners, some have opposite gender partners. But either way, it doesn't change their sexuality, and it doesn't change the fact that they're out to their families and their acceptance of themselves.
Yeah, and we've got friends who are bisexual and in a same gendered relationship, mm-hmm. and they're out to their children.
Yeah.
And their children know, and they know that they're bi. Mm-hmm. And so it's, yeah.
But, you know, it's also that path of least resistance to not say anything. So, yeah.
The bummer.
I know.
I told the people at the beginning of the podcast this wasn't going to be a bummer podcast.
Well, it's not completely. Yeah, and I think some of that was because, you know, as to whether to come out to family or not come out, it is that fear of the stereotypes that people have of the bisexual community. The stereotypes that you're indecisive, you're closeted, you're manipulative, selfish, promiscuous, unable to maintain relationships, you're prone to sexual risk-taking. You know, a lot of those stereotypes we've been through before. We've talked about it. Probably talk about it again. But they're myths. They yes. really are.
There's nothing valid about any of those.
No.
And it just makes me angry.
But because of that, then some bisexuals will present themselves as heterosexual or homosexual just to avoid that stigma and hassle within their families and the people close to them. Again, because it's just easy. They know that people have this myth and stigma towards the community. And so it's like, well, just I don't want to deal with it. And I think that this is most visible, the heteronormativity is most visible within that family structure. And it's basically by these women not coming out to their family and by embracing that heteronormativity, what they're saying is that there is one family structure that is valued above all others. And that is a heterosexual, monogamous, married union. And that is apparently the pinnacle that we're all supposed to get to. Yeah. And it's not. And so what this does is it then joins gender, sexuality, family norms, and puts them all in a ball together without separating them. And it's just, that's not how it is. And that's not how it should be. But by not saying anything and not speaking up and saying that, hey, this is who I am, regardless of my relationship status and regardless of whether I have children. And it just kind of perpetuates that.
That's, yeah, I mean, really good point you make there. I think my mind was blown when you were talking about the heteronormativity and throwing all the things in a bucket and just saying that that's the epitome of relationships. Because you're actually right. That, again, yeah. And that's patriarchal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, you see it as well that bisexual women who have a male partner, especially once they start a family, they may minimize their sexual history or their desires for perhaps, you know, other people or to be intimate with someone of the same gender when they're pressured by their families and those close to them. But again, you're just perpetuating that heteronormativity. But those who do assert their bisexuality, they could have openness and they could kind of enhance that you know, integrating their identity into their life and their family and their communications, even just talks and little things that you say and choices that you make. But it's, I think it's that fear of the unknown is to, are they going to accept me and be open about this? Or are they going to just shut me down?
Is this going to be a problem?
Yeah. Is this going to be like a huge rift in the family? And I guess when you have children, that is a higher risk.
Yeah. It's, you know, I do want to say that this study is clearly bleak and depressing, but at the same time, the number of women that we've run into at the club who have children are in a heterosexual relationship, but identify as bisexual. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a plus. Now, mm-hmm. I realize this is in a specific sexual setting.
Yeah.
They may not do this outside, but baby steps. I think mm-hmm. that if you can identify as bisexual within the club, mm-hmm. that's the first step, and you see that it's normalized, it's accepted, that it's really not even noticed, kind of.
No.
You know, once you experience that, then you might think, hey, maybe that's the way things are going to be out mm-hmm. in Muggle land, mm-hmm. in the real world.
And some of the people that we've met, like you said, that are bisexual women with children that we've met at the club, some of them their children know, and some of them they don't. And it also depends on the age of the child, you know, age-appropriate information. Right. But it is that little by little that you kind of have to just start building that acceptance and acknowledgement. And again, this is only looking at male-partnered bisexual women. What about bisexual men in a relationship with the female than having children? I assume it's very much the same for them. Perhaps, I would
worse.
Say it's worse.
Yeah,
honestly.
If not worse.
Yeah. I would say it's probably a lot worse for them. But I didn't see anything about that.
Wow.
So. Anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we started out exciting. We started out about orgasms.
Uh-huh.
And that was good.
And then we went to buy invisibility and families.
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah.
Wah, wah.
But not all families are like that.
No, that's right. That was only 22 families.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's
and
a plus.
So just let's just hope that more families are a little more open and discussive and talk about things a bit more.
Just remember, like we always say, you don't have to understand someone in order to accept them.
Right.
If you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. Shut your pie trap. Anyway. So, that wraps up our second deep dive into bisexuality.
Uh-huh.
I think we have probably another one, maybe?
One more. Yeah.
Probably get the rest of it in. I still have a few pieces of paper over here. Still a few pieces of paper to go through.
Yeah.
Ooh. Woof.
It's just fascinating.
It is fascinating.
To me, it's just, some of it is a bit expected, and some of it is still a bit mind-boggling. And either way, even if it's expected, it still
can be frustrating.
And to see it actually numbers and in paper, it just
but
oof. It is what it is, and again, so somebody mentioned as well that this is just a snapshot, this is just what it is at the moment. That doesn't mean that it can't change. We can't change this over time. You know, we can try to again create better environments for people, more accepting environments, and mitigate some of these negative effects. So
you know, and if nothing else, creating a better environment for our children so that, you know, they can grow up in a world in which they don't have to put up with this stupid bullshit.
Yeah. Well said.
Thanks. Okay, so if you have your own papers that you want to send us, mm-hmm. Email us your questions, comments, and rude remarks to theatomsoflove@gmail.com. We are going to Desire in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
We're doing a live podcast at Life on the Swing Sets. It's going to be the November 3rd.
To 10th.
To the 10th.
Mm-hmm. If anybody wants a last minute holiday, come
out
with us.
That's right. There's still a few rooms left.
I think there's a couple. Yeah.
And then, so yeah, but go and search that out. SS Desire. We're going to be doing our live podcast there. Mm-hmm. We are going to give away at our live podcast a nice, sexy sex toy from Geeky Sex Toys out of Brisbane. So we've got a relationship with them now, and we can put some links up to where if you want to buy your own toys, it helps us out, it helps you out, it helps them out, and
it's a win-win-win.
So that link will go into our show notes here on out, and then I'll post it some other places on Facebook, Instagram, and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
It helps everybody else.
It does.
It's great.
And they're fun toys.
And their toys are fucking amazing. Yeah. If you've never seen Geeky Sex Toy stuff, they have, well, the box that we've got coming to us includes a ball gag that is a D20 die, which... If you grew up playing Dungeons and Dragons, you always wanted to take the die and shove it in the DM's mouth. So now you shove it in the sub's mouth. So it's great. So pretty excited about that. The toy that we have to give away, I am very excited about.
Are you going to tell what it is?
I'm not going to tell exactly what it is, but I'm going to say...
I like a surprise.
It is in their sword collection.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
And then, I mean, and they've got all kinds of swords. They've got the Game of Thrones swords. They've got the Star Wars swords. They've got the
Zelda
swords. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm pretty stoked.
Yeah.
We've got a butt plug coming from them that is Iron Man. Oh, no, Captain
America. You did Captain America.
Sorry, I did Captain America.
They do have an Iron Man.
They do have an Iron Man butt plug that glows in the dark because, you know.
Why not?
Tony Stark glows in the dark. Anyway, but I got the Captain America because, you know. Captain Murka. So yeah, so check them out. They're awesome. It's geekysextoys.com, but find the link in ours so that, you know, you can send a little love our way.
Yeah.
You can also send love our way via our Patreon page. If you want cum rags, you know, check that out. You can get cum rags. I'm working on a way to get hoodies out to people as well, or jumpers, whatever you call it, but they're zip up hoodies. If that's something that you're interested in, shoot us a message. The more demand we have, the more likely it'll be that we'll be able to do it quicker rather than being lazy.
Yep.
Find us on all social medias at By the By Podcast. That's Instagram, Facebooks, and the Twitters. And yeah, so...
get in touch with us. We love to hear from people.
Yeah, we love to hear from people. Yeah. And we love it. Like, again, thank you to our listener who sent us all these paid papers. They're fucking amazing.
Yeah.
They make me sad, but, you know, like... Like you said, it's I know that it's just a moment in time.
Yeah. And hopefully the future will be better.
One moment in time. Oh, also, I'm performing when this comes out. If you're in Sydney, I'm performing tonight. In fact, tickets are probably already sold out, so don't worry about it.
But you never know. They might not
you
be.
You might check and see. We're performing at Rule 34 tonight in Sydney, which is going to be at the Red Rattler in Merrickville. It's... it's going to be a scene. So the last time I performed oral sex on Angela on stage, this time, well, I'm not going to tell you what it's going to be, but it involves two other guys.
Right.
So there's going to be four of us on stage, Angela, and then three sexy-ass men. Well, two sexy-ass men and me. And we're all...
Three sexy-ass men.
It's going to be fun as hell. So, yeah, come check us out.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And we'll talk at you next week.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.